Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
I'm drinking some tea. How's it going?
I'm drinking some seltzer. It's going well.
Oh, well, it's still morning as we record this here, so I'm in a tea place, and you are afternoon.
I've only had one cup of tea today, but I started feeling, I had it kind of late because I got up kind of late.
Yeah.
And I started feeling I don't often get caffeine withdrawal symptoms, but I think especially for me when it's in I'm still feeling the tail effects of allergies. I'm already a little dried out. I feel like the caffeine withdrawal hits me a little harder.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I generally seem to have no particular, caffeine appears to have very little effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered, which is fine. it has some positive effects on me sometimes, but I've also just stopped having it and haven't felt any negative effects. So I'm lucky, I guess.
It really depends for me on the day. I've definitely gone days and been totally fine. And then there are days where I get a headache around noon and I'm like, why do I have a headache? I don't get headaches that often. And then I was like, oh, I never had some tea this morning.
Ah.
So I don't know. It's probably a combination of factors from that or, you know, what I ate or for breakfast or didn't eat or what the weather's like, all that.
Enjoy
jazz.
Your seltzer. Then
I'm enjoying my seltzer. It's also warmer here. So,
is it Dan?
How warm? I mean, that's a good question.
How
warm is it, Jason? It's only 71 right now, but it was up in the 90s earlier this week.
In your face, Dan Moore, and it's already 72 degrees here.
Oh, damn it!
Boom! It's warmer
again.
Here, and going up. And right. Going up. It was 87 degrees yesterday here.
Oof. Yeah. It's too hot, Jason.
I agree. Hey, how are you liking your iPad?
You know, I'm liking it a lot. I was just jotting down some thoughts, which will make it into a post here in the not-too-distant future.
Thoughts become posts. That's how it works.
Thoughts
a little
become
behind,
posts.
Behind the scenes for the members.
Yeah, we turn the thought factory into posts.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Never
listened to that show, but hey, I know all the references
now. You get
now.
The references.
Aloha, Jason.
Hello.
I'm liking the 10.5 a lot. I think my thoughts on it are that it's... There's pretty much... I have not found a downside to it yet. It's the only thing, why would you not get this? Or, how would you stack it up against a 9.7? You know, I came from an iPad Air 2, and in every way, I feel like this is a superior upgrade. And it's a substantial enough upgrade that merited it, which I think was the other thing. The 9.7 iPad Pro came out last year. And to me... It did not offer enough that I was really ready to upgrade from the Air 2. But the 10.5 inch, you know, with all the improvements, not just to the display, which is obviously the big part of it, but the fact that it, you know, built in all those improvements that the 9.7 inch Pro had on top of that, it was enough to make me, you know, actually feel like, oh, I want to upgrade. And that was interesting for me, too, because it was one of many things in the WWC keynote this year, where in the years, last year or two, I'd always come out of it thinking... Yeah, that wasn't bad. You know, there wasn't really anything here that I was, you know, really coveting. But this year I came out with several things. I really want to upgrade some stuff. And the 10.5 inch iPad Pro was one of those. So I felt very positive about it in my few days of using it here. And I think the only thing that's even a remote potential downside, and I don't even think this is a substantial one, is it is a little bit larger than the 9.7 inch, but it's really such a meager size increase that if you were carrying around a 9.7 inch, you're barely going to notice it, honestly.
Yeah. It's no heavier.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit heavier. Yeah,
I was looking that up today.
And I thought it was, they're both like... Around a pound.
Yeah.
I think the Air 2, well, I don't know, compared to the Pro, I'm not sure. I think it might be a little heavier than the Air 2, but not much. We're talking a fraction of a pound here.
All right.
And again, not enough that I think you'll really notice it if you'd been using a 9.7 inch model. There are things where it's like, oh, the iPad Air 2 smart cover does not fit on the 10.5. There you go.
It's a little larger, but it's bigger. I mean, definitely bigger, for sure.
There had been rumors that they were going to fit a 10.5 inch display in the same chassis,
Alas.
As the 9.7, but that did not happen.
I can give you the good news, and it's on the site already. I heard from a few people who are like, oh, you know, you have a 12.9-inch iPad Pro. Nobody's writing about that, everybody. And I realized all the reviews that dropped, all the embargoed reviews, were like focused on the 10.5 because it's the right. new model, right? The 12.9 just got an update. So I zigged when others zagged, and I actually told Apple, like, hey, can I get a 12.9 review unit? Because everybody else is already reviewing the 10.5. And so I wrote a piece that was up yesterday because thoughts become posts. That's how it Indeed. Works. And I, yeah, and so I got to do that. And the good news with the 12.9 is, as far as I can tell, every accessory works. There are some, that, because it the camera is different, but it's in the same place. Mm-hmm. So it looks like the camera is not obscured by like that silicone back case that they make for the 12.9. Right. It does cover up the flash and it covers up the microphone. So you wouldn't want to shoot video with that back shell on.
It's but, okay if you cover up the flash. But the season wasn't great.
I do. I mean, I said in the thing because I thought it was clever and I amused myself that you can have it be like, it's like one hell of a flashlight, that 12.9 inch. But you can. use it as a flashlight. So hooray, because there's people forget there are a lot of features that were not on the 12.9 Pro that were on the 9.7,
right,
including you know, the True Tone display and all of that, but stuff like the 9.7 had a better camera and it had a flash, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. all this other stuff that just was never on the 12.9 that it finally gets now that they're at parity, because they are at right. parity. That's the other, we asked about this a year and a half ago. It's like, finally, the iPad Pro is the same. If Mr. Moneybags Millionaire goes into an Apple store today and says, give me your finest iPad, they'll say, which size, sir? Because
right.
they all
which
have
the
exact
same be.
Features. Yeah.
It should be just a choice between size. You want a bigger screen with a little more, like, you know, size, so it's not as compact, or do you want a smaller model? I think it does raise an interesting question as to whether or not the iPad Mini is basically dead.
Yeah.
And that came up recently because, someone, a family member, was talking about replacing another family member's iPad, and they asked me for advice. They're like, oh, she seemed to like the smaller form factor of my Mini. And I was like, yeah, it's hard. It's not that it's not a good iPad, but it's hard to recommend because it does seem like it's, you know, it's going away.
It's
not to say the one that's there right now isn't perfectly sufficient, maybe for a while longer, but, you know, it's looking not as good stacked up against the other two.
Yeah, the Mini 4 is, but it's got the one weird SKU that is available, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm of two minds about the Mini. I it does look like it's kind of going away. At the same time, it could be that it is still part of the strategy, and they are going to do an update to it that makes it more in line with the iPad, right? As a mm-hmm. low cost, low end kind of device, and separate from the iPad Pro stuff.
But it makes me wonder if it just wasn't a very popular device.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. And the fact that it, that, you know, the lower down you go in the small tablets, there are just so many cheap, small Amazon tablets and things like that. Does Apple want to go down there? So that's the question. Like, do they want to reconceive the iPad Mini, or do they just not even want to have it around?
And especially with a larger iPhone now as well, the line becomes a little more blurred. If you have a big phone, like a 7 Plus, do you need a Mini? Like, that seems like a smaller distinction there. So if you have a 7 Plus, you're probably looking at a 9.7 at least, or a 10.5, I guess now. One of those. So... yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Apple felt like there was enough room there that it really had a whole product category. But who knows? Like you said, it may be that an update to that is coming.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery, right? It's a good product for kids. That's the thing. Was like, my son still uses an iPad Mini and he loves it. Mm-hmm. And this is after having a year with an iPad Air. At school, he still loves the Mini and I think loves the size of it. It's great for him. And so I have a hard time seeing Apple like totally abandoning that size, but it's obviously not a big priority for them. But so I mean that's the question, is it something that they're just sort of like letting fade away, or are they waiting to do they did their take on the iPad with the fifth generation iPad? Is there a new take on the Mini that with this new bifurcation of the product line? I don't know.
Maybe it's a tier of, like, there's almost a tier of products that Apple revamps, you know, when it feels like it, like the iPhone SE or the Mac Mini, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like maybe the iPad iPad mini falls in that slot where it's like, well, we'll get around to it, but it's not a high priority.
I think that iPad is going to be the same way, right? Where it's like, here's the iPad. It is, you can get it. It's cheaper than other iPads and enjoy. And then the iPad Pro is the one that's got all the cutting edge features. And, and that's, I think Apple is just fine with that. That's their strategy right now, is to split those in two. So I don't know. It's a good question. But what else about the 10.5 is hitting you coming from the Air? People forget about the Air 2 being... Yeah. Air 2 is the first multitasking capable device. In fact, when they unveiled iOS 9, it was the only device you could do multitasking on, because it was before the Pro came out. So it is kind of you were kind of like using a proto iPad Pro at that point, because they've rolled it back now.
And the Air 2 is a solid device. Like, there's very little that it couldn't do. It was perfectly capable, but it was all the cutting edge, you know, new stuff on the Pro that drove me over. I think you wrote a little bit in your 12.9 piece about ProMotion, and It definitely took some getting used to, and I compared it elsewhere to the soap opera effect on TVs, which I feel a little bad about because I hate that, and I don't want to suggest that this is bad in that way, because, you know, video, for example, if you watch it on here, it does automatically changes the refresh rate to match, right? So you don't get that, like, weird-looking movies that look like soap operas. But it is so much smoother in the animation and the scrolling, and just, like, it's just so zippy. I feel like in some ways, you know, you said this isn't as big a jump from Retina, and I agree with that, but you combine all of those things, and it does feel like this is really the way the iPad was meant to be seen and experienced, because everything is just so fluid. It really removes the, you know, not quite barrier, that's too strong a word, but like the feeling of abstraction, like, oh, I'm using a device, right? Like, it makes it look even more real, quote unquote, because everything just seems so smooth, and like there's no feeling of I'm interacting with a device here. It's like everything is just zippy. So I really like it. I've noticed some other people, I think our friend Stephen Hackett said in the Relay Slack that it made him feel nauseous, and I feel bad if that's the case. I have not experienced that at all, but I guess I know there are people who are very sensitive to certain motion effects, so I can see that might be a problem for some people. I hope it's not widespread. But yeah, overall, I've been very impressed with ProMotion, and it really just, like, you open an app and just the, like, fluidity with which that app, like, takes up your screen is just remarkable. And you know, after a few days, it starts to sit in the background a little bit more. It's not as, like, every time you're scrolling through a page, you're like, oh, wow, look at that scrolling. But it is just, it feels very natural.
Yeah, I'm also not 100%. I mean, you can turn off, there's an accessibility setting to force it to max out at 60 frames per second, and if you do that, it's noticeably different, but I would say I feel like it's a combination of the graphics and the graphics power of the device and the refresh rate kind of working hand in hand, but it's hard to say. I don't know, it's not a major feature in the sense that, like, Retina completely changed the display, but you know, you feel it's also not a thing where I heard somebody say you really have to be looking for it. It's like, no, you don't.
No, absolutely not.
Like, you press the home button and things slide away and you're like, whoa, what just happened? Like, it's not the same, and yeah, the scrolling is smoother, and it's all really nice. It's not enough, I think, on its own to upgrade the device, unless you're a heavy, like, Apple Pencil artist kind of person, where that refresh rate also allows the latency to be dramatically reduced.
Yeah,
but it's awfully nice to have.
Sure, and it's not hard to imagine that is the way that all of Apple's devices will probably go eventually.
Next frontier for them, right?
They've done it does,
Retina and True Tone and D3, and here we are again.
It does feel Retina-like in that way, that this is a big push that they're going to make across all of their product lines. What other things have struck me in using this? So I also got a Pencil, which I wrote a little bit about, and this was a first for me because the Air 2 didn't work with it. And I've really been digging it, even though I am not even remotely an artist or artistically talented in any way. But I've been playing around a lot with, like, jotting down notes and writing stuff and using apps like GoodNotes, which have very good interfaces for the Pencil and writing notes and stuff. And I really like it. I don't have the greatest handwriting, and this has definitely not improved it in any way, but there is something satisfying about it, and it does feel very natural to me, and maybe part of that is because I am of a generation that only came to computing sort of as I was a little bit before I was a teenager, but like as a young kid, essentially. So I felt like, you know, it's very natural to hold the pencil. It's very natural to write with the pencil. And it's just, it's a satisfying, I you know, kind of compared it, I don't have AirPods, but I feel like the pencil falls in the same category of just a very well-made device that is kind of just delightful and like tactily really pleasant and all of that. So I've really liked using it. I had some suggestions in my post about places where I feel like the pencil could become even more useful. I am kind of surprised that it doesn't even function at all with an iPhone. I find that very odd. I understand it's probably not the high end of their priority list, but it seems like it, you know, something to me that seems very natural. Because I would, you know, I'm sitting here and like I would hold the pencil and I would switch to my phone. I'd just be like, oh, I'm holding the pencil. Let me just tap on something there. Because it is nice to certainly have the precision of a pencil point versus like my stubby finger trying to hit a button sometimes. And I'm surprised. It's like, oh yeah, it doesn't even work. It's not even a very basic stylus, essentially. So I'd like to see that. The lack of any place to store the pencil with the iPad.
Yeah.
Utterly befuddling. Utterly befuddling. You could have just put a loop on the outside of the smart cover. Like,
yeah, I don't understand why they didn't design the pencil or a pencil accessory to just attach to the smart connector.
Yeah.
Especially since you could also trickle charge it from there.
Yep.
And yet nothing. And I get maybe that's weird for them, but sticking that thing in the lightning port is super weird too.
So bizarre. It's just such a weird, it smacks of just a like, well,
gotta
put, I guess this is the best thing we could do right now. And wireless charging seems like a no-brainer for this thing eventually, because it just makes a lot of sense. I bought a magnetic loop to attach to this thing that I'm going to try out. So we'll see how that goes. It's super weird that Apple introduced a pencil case that does not attach in any way to the iPad or smart cover. I posted in that thing I wrote that I went on the Apple site to just check and make sure. And the Apple's like store interface has questions people can ask. And there were literally 10 of them in a row that were all like, wait, this doesn't attach to the iPad? I was like, guys, come on. If you're going to make like a, what, it's like a $50 leather case, 25, I don't know. It's a not cheap leather case.
Yes.
That doesn't attach to anything. No. It's just a leather sleeve.
Yep.
So Apple. That's like that $99 like iPod case or whatever they made way back in the day. Yep. Nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, it
comes with a little paper fake pencil in it, though.
Great.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's just what you need. Anyways, yeah, so I've been liking that a lot. And that's using that on the iPad has been kind of delightful. I'm trying to think. Oh, the other things that jumped out for me using the iPad. I had not had an iPad with the 4 speakers before. Wow. It is super loud.
Yeah.
I've watched stuff on my iPad before with the with just the speaker, and it's fine. I have a small Bluetooth speaker that I often carried because of that, but this makes me feel like I really don't need that as much. Like, it's not the best sound quality. I'm not going to like jam out to all my music on those speakers. But if you're watching a TV show on Netflix, perfectly fine. And I was surprised how loud it was. Yeah, other than that, I mean, like, you know, the iPad has certainly felt like it's been not as significant in terms of advancements as like the iPhone in recent years.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one seems very nice. And I'm looking forward to using it more with iOS 11, which I think will bolster its capabilities even more.
I don't know. I got to spend more time with both of them, but I'm an iPad believer, so that's where I am. I'm happy to finally see some movement on the iPad front after a long time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else going on?
Anything else going on? Well, let's see. iPad. I feel like there was something else. Oh, people asked me about my keyboard, which I'm going to write a little thing about that I use with the iPad. People were really interested in this little foldable Bluetooth keyboard I have.
I didn't realize that you were a split keyboard person.
I have been in the past. I bought this one in part because it was the split keyboard and also because it's foldable and is really small. And I had started to feel like I had a keyboard case for my Air 2, but I started to feel like I didn't take the Air 2 as many places because the keyboard case just made it heavier and bulkier and closer to my MacBook Air. So why would I bring that? And so having the modularity and the ability to like, oh, I can take keyboard, not take keyboard. I can take keyboard, not use the keyboard. All of that just felt, you know, it sort of returned the iPad to being a much more portable device for me. And of course, the keyboard case I have for the Air 2 does not fit the 10.5 inch iPad. So it's just as well that I had a little Bluetooth keyboard on hand here. And it's a pretty solid little keyboard. It's not without its problems, and I'm going to write a little thing up about it. But for a $30 keyboard, it is remarkably portable. Its Bluetooth battery lasts like forever. The key feel is pretty decent. It works fairly well. I have some nitpicks. It's, you know, primarily a Windows layout, which sure. I don't love. Some of the keys, I can't tell if this is just the one I have, but some of the keys are a little bit flaky about not registering sometimes, particularly the V key for whatever reason. Don't know. Maybe that's just a mechanical fault in this one. And then there's like one or two keys. For me, you mentioned the split keyboard thing. The B key is on the wrong side for which finger I'm used to hitting it with, which is a little annoying because I've ended up having to retrain my muscle memory a little bit. I use split keyboards in the past because I used to have some problems with RSI. I haven't had as many in recent years, so I, you know, been fine with a normal keyboard. But this one's not bad either. So I've been enjoying it. It's like a $30 keyboard too. So
oh, wow.
For that price, it's pretty reasonable.
The foldable, you know, making it able to be packed around easy is nice.
You could fit it in like the, you know, at least if you're a guy, probably you could fit it in the back pocket of your jeans with wow. not too much trouble. So yeah, it's a cool little device.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, I have a Windows layout keyboard that I use, and it's fine. You know, mm-hmm. macOS lets you, iOS doesn't. macOS lets you swap keys, but on iOS you've got to use the wrong key, right? Unless it's got a hardware switch, which it probably doesn't.
Yeah,
so
command option is in the wrong place.
Yeah,
which is
that sucks.
It's a little, especially when I have to look down and they're not labeled correctly either. It's like, okay, let me just think about this for a minute. So not as fluid with that as I'd like to be.
Yeah. But still, it's cool that you're trying that out. You got, you know, yeah. you got Scrivener and on iOS and stuff. I mean, you can do most of what you do for your job on iOS in a cafe somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been taking only the iPad for the last couple of days just to see. And there's definitely stuff I'm less fluid with than if I were doing it on macOS. And, but like overall, you're totally right. I can get by pretty well. And it's very freeing in some places. Like I took, I went to the cafe the other day and I had a bunch of book plates to sign for my book. So I like sat down and did that for a while. And, just having like the iPad there, you know, for something that I could then sat down and like write a post on, it is focusing at times, right? Because you don't jump as much between apps and be like, oh, I'm going to check what's up on Twitter. I'm going to check what's up on Slack. It's like, no, I've opened up. I was trying out Bear Notes. I don't know if you've used that at all.
I haven't.
I was trying it out just to see, well, I wonder what this is like. And I actually really, it's really lovely. It's a lovely app. And I was trying and writing a piece on that. And it was just very, it was soothing to be able to write a piece and not be constantly barraged by like my own inclinations. Like, let me be clear. This is me who's like always, oh, I wonder what's going on Twitter. So being able to focus in a single app experience is at times really nice.
Yep, I agree. I think that's one of the appeals of it. And yes, having multitasking is great too. But again, I use that for focus in the sense that I will bring up, you know, Safari when I'm pulling links right. into a story or something like that, much more than I'll have. It is rare that I will be writing a story in one window while Slack is scrolling by in another window.
It's too distracting.
Because it's way too distracting. In fact, it's nice sometimes to put Slack and Twitter side by side and be able in iOS 11, you can actually just kind of pop over to what's going on in those places and then pop away again.
Right, right.
It's pretty good. But yeah, I like the focus of it. It's helpful. And having this, I know this is going to sound dumb, but having this big 27-inch iMac, sometimes I appreciate having instead of having a little window floating in space with my words going in it, having that smaller screen sometimes also is a focusing kind of thing. And that seems strange. But in the end, it comes down to sometimes it's good to have a change of pace. And so sometimes I'm sitting at my desk here for a while, and then I'll just get up and I'll go somewhere else. And we're having this nice weather now, so I'll go in the backyard with the iPad, and it's a nice change of pace, change of scenery. Can be inspiring, can make me more productive.
I almost never use Scrivener on my iMac. Almost never.
Interesting.
And I don't know if I ever use it to write. I will sometimes edit on Scrivener on my iMac when I do use it. But almost all of my writing is done on my MacBook Air. I don't know why, but you mentioned that, and I thought about it. I was like, yeah, I almost always go to my MacBook Air for writing. And maybe some of that came out of the fact that my iMac used to be like legitimately like my work machine when I was still at Macworld. And I sort of separated that out because the MacBook Air was my machine. And I was like, I'm going to use this for my writing. But yeah, I think it's just, you're right that there is something about the smaller screen focusing it. Because I will full screen Scrivener on the MacBook Air and just write there.
And there's your focus again.
Yeah, exactly. So interesting. I don't know. It is easier. It feels more manageable in some ways.
All right. Well, another week in the books.
Another week in the books, as it were.
Yes. Put those books away. Thanks to everybody out there for being a subscriber. Again, you help us keep the lights on at Six Colors. We appreciate it. This is why we're able to post stories for free on our website and let everybody read them, and also work on that Six Colors magazine, which we have to do because it's mid-month. So
yeah, if you got requests, we do our buy request column every month.
That's always hard to come up with things. It's hard to do buy requests when there's no requests.
Yeah, so make requests at the Six Colors Twitter here. I don't even remember. We have too many Twitter accounts.
Six Colors Mag or Bleed Six Colors or whatever. There's so many different ways to
Jason,
reach us.
There's so many ways to reach us.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
We take requests directly. Yeah. Although I have to say, this is just a little inside baseball, but I am amused when I ask for a request for a Six Colors by Request magazine column, and somebody says, detailed analysis of incredibly technical issue that requires 15 hours of research. I'm like, yeah, that's not the kind of thing I'm looking for. I'm looking for, hey, why don't you talk about this subject for 800 words? So that's more of what we're looking for. So yes.
Yeah, there's a reasonable... A reasonable amount there.
Yeah. That's that breaks the bank. We don't have the budget for the 15-hour, 20-hour heavily researched comparative review to be in the newsletter. Sorry. That's how it's got to be. All right. Well, stay cool, Dan. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.